Hello and welcome to the Three Inning Save Podcast. We are a part of the Fans First Sports Network. I am your host, Eric Steven. With me today is Jacob Birch, but it is not our regular weekly episode. This is a Dodgers Rewind. Hello, Jacob.
Hello. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. We just watched the Dodgers play the Yankees last weekend, and I thought it would be appropriate if we looked at someone who played for both teams.
There's Jeff Weaver?
Yeah. No, he's one of many, many players who have played for both the Dodgers and Yankees, but there are only eight players in Major League Baseball history who have only played for the Dodgers and Yankees and no other Major League teams. One of them is Kemp Wicker. He is a left-handed pitcher who pitched for the Yankees from 1936 to 1938 and for Brooklyn in 1941. Before we get into Wicker's career, I have a trivia question for you. I did not forget this week as I did on our last Dodgers Rewind, so I'm ready. Kemp Wicker, his only win with the Dodgers came on May 8th, 1941 against the Cardinals. He entered with two outs in the fourth inning and finished the game, which went 12 innings. His 8 1/3 innings of relief for the win is notable, but there have been 28 longer winning relief appearances by Dodgers in their franchise history, including the Brooklyn years. Only four of them have come since the Dodgers moved to Los Angeles. Who of these four long Los Angeles relievers can you name?
We'll see. I'm looking forward to learning about Kemp Wicker regardless.
Yeah. He has a fun story. I think this will be good. So in that May 8th, 1941 game at Ebbets Field, Dodgers starter Luke Hamlin, he was staked to a 4-0 lead after two innings, but then allowed four doubles in the third and fourth innings to tie things up. He was pulled with two outs and a runner in scoring position in a tie game in the fourth. Wicker came in and walked Johnny Mize, his first batter, but he got Enos Slaughter to fly out to end the threat. Wicker didn't allow much the rest of the way, but neither did Mort Cooper, who started for the Cardinals, and he was still there in the 12th inning. Wicker allowed five hits, walked two. St. Louis only batted twice with a runner in scoring position against him the rest of the way. He escaped both of them with ground outs. In the 12th, Cooper got the first two outs for the Cardinals, but then Joe Medwick singled and advanced a second on an error by third baseman Jimmy Brown. Cookie Lavigetto singled him home for the walk-off win. So with his scoreless relief, Kemp Wicker got the win. Also notable in this game, Dodgers rookie center fielder Pete Reiser crashed into the wall, making a catch of a drive by Enos Slaughter in the second. He had to leave the game. Reiser missed five games this time. Running into walls was sort of his thing, though, and he sort of had a budding Hall of Fame career that was later cut short by injuries. A lot of them included just running into the wall and knocking himself out, and he was just kind of a wild man out there. But for Kemp Wicker, the Dodgers acquired him from the Yankees in February 1939 for cash. They paid $50,000 total for three players. Wicker, who was 30 at the time, 25-year-old Jack LaRocca, or possibly LaRocca, and 24-year-old catcher Chris Hartje. Hartje played nine games for Brooklyn in 1939. He started five games behind the plate, but he only played 39 innings total at catcher. He was 5-for-16 with a double and a walk, and that was his only major league season. LaRocca never played in the majors or minors after this deal. Dodgers GM Larry McPhail said this to Bill McCullough at the Brooklyn Daily Eagle about the deal, which was $50,000 for three prospects. What do we have to lose? LaRocca, Wicker, and Hartje have the Yankee stamp on them, and that stamp is good enough for me. If they didn't have a chance to become major leaguers, neither Ed Barrow nor George Weiss would have dallied with them. So they were really going for, these guys are proven winners by being a Yankee, so that's why we want to get them. McPhail also noted that those three would help the Dodgers farm system depth, if not in the majors. And at least in Wicker's case, that was true. He had a 2.91 ERA and 232 innings for Montreal in 1940, and he won 18 games. In 1941, he was 6-2 in Montreal, and only, but he only pitched 65 innings because he was in the majors for so much of the year. He pitched five scoreless innings in relief in Montreal's Game 7 win to win the International League Championship in 1941-2. But we'll talk a little bit more about the rest of Kemp Wicker's career and afterwards after this. Kemp Wicker was born in Kennersville, North Carolina. He went to college at North Carolina State. He bounced around in the independent minor leagues for 5 years until latching on with the Yankees in 1932. This was his age 25 season. He averaged 191 innings for 5 years in the Yankees minors, but he finally got the call to the big leagues on August 14th, 1936. This was one day after Kemp Wicker's 30th birthday. He pitched a scoreless inning in relief in his debut, but otherwise had a rough go that year. He had a 7.65 ERA in 20 innings. He made the World Series roster, but did not pitch. 1937 was his best major league season. He had a 4.40 ERA in 16 games, including 10 starts, and pitched 88 innings. 102 ERA plus, because the 30s were just wild offensively. Like, it was almost like the probably like the 90s, but more so. Like, you look at some of those teams in the 90s where, oh, their ERA was 4.82 and they were great, like, or whatever. But like, whatever, it was kind of like that. But Kemp Wicker also had the classic old line that could never happen today. 26 walks, 14 strikeouts, and 88 innings. He pitched six complete games that year, four coming in September, including his only career shutout. That earned Wicker another spot on the World Series roster, and this time he got to pitch. It was only in a one scoreless inning in Game 4 against the Giants. That was the only game the Yankees lost that series. The Yankees losing did not happen a lot during this time. Kemp Wicker, he played for four major league seasons. His teams were in the World Series every season. The Yankees won from 1936 to 1938. They also won in 39 after Wicker was gone. And then the Dodgers lost to the Yankees in 1941. This reminded me of Clay Bellinger, Cody's dad, who played from 1999 to 2001 with the Yankees. Two World Series wins, one World Series loss, and then played for the 2002 Angels, who also won the World Series. So Cody Bellinger kept that family streak going by making the World Series in his first 2 years with the Dodgers, but then it got snapped in 2019, but then they won in 2020. So it was quite a run for the family Bellinger in terms of making the World Series like every single year. Kemp Wicker, he pitched 141 innings in 4 years in the majors with a 4.66 ERA and a 94 ERA plus. With the Dodgers, it was 3.66 and a 103 ERA plus. But that brings us back to the trivia question for you. And Jacob, name the four LA Dodgers relievers to win with a relief appearance of longer than 8 1/3 innings.
When was the most recent one of these?
Good question. I probably should have loaded this before we started. No. oh man. Okay. The most recent one, you know what? I was looking on here. Most recent one was 1965.
Cool. All right. So, just wanted to make sure I was appropriately dating myself, but that was definitely the era I was going to be sticking in. You might've gotten like either like a weird Fernando or oral guess out of me, but
well, famously, so we're recording this a little bit after the 34th anniversary of the Dodgers 22 inning game in Houston in 1989. And that was a game where it went 22 innings, the Dodgers lost, but Oral Hershiser in that game pitched seven scoreless innings in relief. But yeah, so not quite at least 8 2/3. The reason I was pausing that is because my list has relief appearances of at least 8 innings for some reason, and not 8 2/3. So there is a 1984 relief appearance that's not Fernando that went 8 innings, but not longer than 8 1/3.
All right. So I think I'm going to mostly just stick with starters who just happen to come in on short rest or something. Mm-hmm. Maybe this is a good idea or not. So, Don Drysdale's name comes to mind?
No.
Okay.
I'm going to give you a hint here. The most recent one shares a name with a current Dodgers pitcher.
What? I don't think that helps.
Okay, the other hint I'll give you in regards to that, think of this current player's name, but perhaps shortened a little bit.
Man, I don't know.
another
hint.
Another piece of advice is maybe go with the reliever for some of your guesses.
You're having me name a 60s reliever, which
maybe think of relievers who may have also later been a pitching coach for the Dodgers.
I'm going to blame the fact that I have a newborn at home and then I'm very tired, even though I've actually been getting really good sleep. No, I'm tapping out my brain. I will blame the fact that it's fairly late here and my brain just decided to stop working. I know who you're referring to, and it's just not going to happen. Rick Honeycutt.
No, it wasn't quite that. The most recent one, it went 8 2/3 innings on June 30th, 1965 in a doubleheader at Wrigley Field. Bob Miller.
Okay.
the reliever I was referring to. You know what? I messed this up because he only had an 8 inning thing. The one I was referring to is Ron Paranowski. But yeah. Okay. Anyway, 1960, Ed Roebuck went 9 innings in relief. Larry Sherry, who was the MVP of the '59 World Series, I think he pitched in all 4 wins. 2 wins, 2 saves. He went 8 2/3 in 1959. The other LA Dodger one, 11 innings from Roger Craig on July 9th, 1959. Roger Craig just passed away on June 4th. He pitched his first 7 years in the majors. He won with the Dodgers. He won Game 5 of the 1955 World Series. The pivotal Game 5 put the Dodgers up 3-2. They eventually won. That was their first championship. There are only 2 living. Roger Craig also went on to later manage the Giants, went to a World Series with them too. Threw the first pitch in Mets history because he was taken from the Dodgers in the expansion draft. But there are only 2 living players from the 1955 Dodgers, Sandy Koufax and Carl Erskine.
Roger Craig is also the name of a Jeopardy champion, so that could have been your hint.
Former 49ers running back who had 1,000 yards rushing and receiving.
About the Jeopardy contestant, apparently.
That's awesome.
Shows where my head's at.
There's so many Roger Craigs.
Is a tournament champion winner, and he was noted for his very, computer oriented kind of
preparation. Was he the one who went all over the board? Oh no!
No.
Okay. So the only one longer in only longer relief appearance in a win in Dodgers history than Roger Craig was Harry McIntyre, 11 2/3, on September 14th, 1907. I know you were probably just talking about him the other day. So yeah, that's fun times. Anyway, back to Kemp Wicker, who is the subject of today's Dodgers Rewind. The Dodgers traded Wicker along with minor league infielder Jack Berman and $7,500 to the Cardinals for catcher Don Paget. That trade was made December 10th, 1941, 3 days after Pearl Harbor. Paget didn't play baseball for the next 4 years due to military service. Wicker never pitched in the majors after leaving the Dodgers, but he did pitch mostly full-time in the minors for the next 5 years. For the Cardinals in Sacramento, Rochester, and Columbus. Columbus is where Wicker began in earnest his managerial career. His teams had the best record in the South Atlantic League in each of his first 2 seasons, 1946 and 1947. He managed parts of 9 seasons in the minors with the Cardinals, Cubs, and A's systems. He also had a long career as a scout with the Cardinals and A's. Now, he was only on World Series teams in his major league career, and that means at least once he got a nice bonus. I couldn't find any note of whether he got bonuses in other years because, you know, teams kind of they're different how they do it, especially back then. But in 1937, this World Series he did pitch in, his bonus from the Yankees was $6,400, which was a lot. So 10 years later, the Greensboro Record in his home state of North Carolina wrote an article about it. This Kemp Wicker was managing by then. This is from Earl Helen in the paper. Quote, what did Kemp do? Well, he built himself a fine modern 8-room brick house on his farm between Colfax and Kennersville, just off the paved highway. Kemp figures that his beautiful home cost about $6,000 back in those days, when that amount practically built a mansion. But he said he and his brother-in-law helped build it to cut down that cost. So that's awesome. He basically like bought his house with the World Series money. Wicker and his wife Wilhelmina, we almost need to do Dodgers Rewind on that alone. That's a great name. Raised 4 kids in that home. The two were married for 46 years until Wicker died from ALS in 1973. So that is Kemp Wicker. What do you think?
It's great. I love doing these episodes. One, it's nice to do a little break from the longer marathons that we do, but also just learning about a lot of names, not just the player we're reviewing, but the sort of tangential players that maybe a name I heard, but just more insight into it.
So the funny part about this is when I was doing the notes, and I think I even have a couple of errors in the notes, my brain kept switching because his name is Kemp Wicker, and my brain kept wanting to tell me it's Wicker Kemp for some reason. So, but no, it's Kemp Wicker. So that, you know, and like, honestly, I agree. This is one of those things where, like, literally, I had never heard of this person. So part of the fun is just me finding out about it. And hopefully part of the fun, too, is you all finding out, you know, learning along with me and Jacob as we go through this. But that's it for us today. Thank you all for listening to the 3-Inning Save podcast. We are part of the Fans First Sports Network. We'll be back with our regular weekly episode in a few days. Thanks for listening, everybody.